to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Tucker, can we have the roll call?
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Mr. Bondurant?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Power?
Here.
Here. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the board? Hearing none, we will start with our presentations, reports, and initiatives update.
Okay, we are going to begin with our Parent-Teacher Advisory Committee, which, as you know, according to law, must meet annually in order to review the procedures and the policies that the district has in place regarding student discipline and any other matters that might be brought before that committee. This year we had 12 members representing our parents, teachers, and administration to review our policies and do work that relates to the discipline matrix. And we have three of our members here to present to us, as well as Matt Edelman, who is a member of that committee, who's here as a part of the support team. And so I'm going to let all three women introduce themselves and give their share of the report for this evening. So Katie or Christine or Bridget, who will begin?
Well, I'm Bridget Mee. I teach 8th grade math at Hamilton High School.
Hello, I teach Kelsey at 8th grade at Abraham Lincoln. And I'm Christine DeCarpin, and I teach 1st grade at Abraham Lincoln. To kind of start off, one of the first tasks of our committee focused on was the update of the discipline matrix, which is in the handbook, and the policy 7190. The matrix was reviewed against the policy to ensure that the behaviors mentioned in the policy were included in the matrix. Specifically, the first recommendation is that possession of paraphernalia will be added to level 4 offenses, and for level 3 and 4 offenses, language regarding law enforcement notification was added. And the policy was revised so the organization of the discipline matrix was reflected in the policy. An example for this is that theft or vandalism to property of other students, which is a level 3 offense, will be added to include a restitution in it. And overall, for this task, we reviewed the policy and updated it and make sure it aligned with the matrix that we already have.
Another thing that we worked on was the alignment of the bullying behavior matrix to our discipline matrix. And when we aligned them, the bullying matrix levels were each assigned an additional level that aligned with the current discipline matrix. Through our work, we had a lot of discussion on who and how should this bullying matrix be used with the discipline matrix. And the committee decided that and determined that it would be best, because it's such a specific document, that it be kept as an internal document and be used just within for staff members in the district to use. But we did, from that, recommend that we create a pamphlet for parents that would be handed out at the beginning of the school year along with their handbook, explaining to the parents that there is a bullying matrix and that it is something that we use to help educators have consistent ways that they respond to bullying behaviors in the school. But it would be more pamphlet that would kind of explain the matrix and not actually giving them the matrix copy.
The final thing that we looked at was revising two of the policies, 7180 and 720. 7180, we wanted to be more specific in who was responsible in terms of school staff, so that way we also included lunch supervisors and bus drivers as well, because they're not just school staff. So that was one of the revisions we were hoping that we can make and be responsible for reporting bullying behaviors. And on 720, we added a definition for bystander and what the bystander's responsibility would be in terms of what they would do if they did witness or were around bullying in that situation. And then the last thing, we did want to ask the board if we could create a bus procedure that includes a discipline outline with potential consequences. That is the next thing we would like to kind of jump off from the Parent-Teacher Advisory Committee.
And just as a point of clarification, policy 7180 is our preventing bullying, intimidation, and harassment policy, and 720 is prohibition against bullying, cyberbullying, hazing, and harassment. And the group looked at the task force recommendations that came out of the definition and response subgroup, and so worked through those recommendations and aligned them to the current policies, recommending that the suggestions they've made along with the task force recommendations be considered by the policy committee.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Any questions for this committee?
So just as a point of clarification, so one request, two things. Number one, I see under recommendations that those additions, changes come to policy committee, which we will review. But then the other one is this request to develop some kind of bus procedure as well that's different, separate from. So it's specific to bus policy, protocol, procedure, those pieces, and then potential consequences.
Correct.
Is there a standard policy that you guys have created? Or?
Well, we are looking at some other districts in the, around this area, and we kind of saw a few that we did like, which would be handed to all parents, not just those parents who have students who would be riding the bus because of a field trip or something, in the case they did ride it. Mm-hmm. There were some samples we've already looked at, but we didn't actually go forward with that yet because we wanted to bring it to you guys first and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. And it is a recommendation that administration develop that procedure and, you know, to expedite it rather than the committee developing that.
Well, it makes sense because we're trying to look at this as holistically as possible, from starting with what we had in place to looking at the matrix and adding, as you said, those pieces. And certainly the bus has come up. I mean, that's a part of their day, you know, back and forth. So that makes sense.
Well, in our current policy for bus deals only really with the procedural, legalistic, safety issues of bus riding, as opposed to more of the behavior, which we wouldn't see as policy, but we would see as procedure.
Procedure, right.
And we're looking to add something, you know, before they get on the bus and when they leave the bus, so because we're door-to-door responsibility, so we wanted to add that into the procedure as well.
Did you say the 720 covers the cyber, like texting?
That 720, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That has some of it in it already. We kind of just, we brought it in and just made it social networking versus specifically saying all of them.
We had talked in finance about the new bus company that possibly, working with the high school, they put cameras on every bus. Mm-hmm. Would that affect our policies in terms of having the cameras there at all? I mean, not what we do, but
I think
enforcement or other things.
It would probably, it might impact actual policy in terms of just notifying and indicating that they are, that we do in fact have cameras on the bus and what the regulations associated with that. So that's a good point. I'd like to note for this group, they were, our work this year was really policy driven, and they did a great job of redlining the policies and making, having great conversations, as, particularly as it relates to looking at the work of the task force and bullying and the complexity around bullying, and they did a great job. Policy is not always something that, you know, when you're used to working in the classroom, that policy doesn't seem quite as intriguing as some of the other things we do in education, and this group just did, I think, a phenomenal job of getting at the policy, really looking at it with a clear head and making some excellent suggestions. So I want to thank you for that, because it really will make the work of policy committee so much easier. And I also want to note that we had strong representation from Hadley and Lincoln this year on the on this committee, as well as interest in working this summer on the bullying work that we'll be doing. So thank you to Lincoln and Hadley in particular, but really everyone who participated on the committee.
Thank you very much.
As the newest member of the policy committee, I
really appreciate it.
And as a departing member of the policy committee, I know what you mean.
We'll miss you, Dan.
Any other questions? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For your
work.
Have a great time.
The next presentation is the Teams for Excellence annual report.
Okay, and Karen Dimmitt and I will present the next report. And I think, Mike, since we're going to stand back here, we'll probably just give you a nod for the changing of the slides.
No. Karen and I served as co-chair of CIT for the last couple of years. Karen will be leaving CIT this year, and because she's no longer co-president of the and Jeannie Schuett and Sue Schofu are here, and our new co-presidents of the IKEA have decided that they would like to assign someone to serve as co-chair with me. And as I said earlier today, I'm not taking that personally, but Kim Barrett will serve as co-chair in future years. But I do want to say to Karen, as we conclude this year, and this will be our report together, that I'm extremely grateful for her leadership of PIT and the work that we've done this year, I think, is reflected in the kinds of things we'll talk about tonight and our accomplishments. So.
And I want to say thank you to Anne, because CIT was the hardest thing I did as PIA co-president.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
It was. That was a lot.
Yeah, just having attended, I can say, you know, we had a dedicated staff position that helped organize that last year. So there was a lot of work to do to have both of you run it, and I think the meetings ran very well, and I don't think we missed a beat there, so you guys did a great job.
Thank you. Well, we're going to begin with our building leadership teams, and so we can go to the first slide. And the way we've organized our report is similar to what we've done in the past, and that is a list of accomplishments and then a list of next steps that each of the teams for excellence wants to undertake. And we had our final meeting today for CIT, and the building leadership teams did their final presentation of the year, which was to look at their school improvement journey this year and ending year results of the data that they had. And we had much to celebrate today at CIT. Each of our schools showed tremendous growth in moving students who were in the lower academic warning areas up to the meets, and significant portions of students on math that moved from meets to exceeds or in that 90th percentile range, large percentages of gains. And so we were thrilled with that kind of result that we saw. And I think it's important to say that, because I think it really lends to the accomplishments that have occurred in the BLTs over the last year as well as over the last couple of years. And that is a greater focus in terms of what improvement means and for whom, and looking at their goals in a much more specific way, and creating grade level action plans that are authentic and reviewed at the team level. One of the things that has been especially important, I think, is the embracing of the PLC, or the professional learning community concept, and linking it to the school improvement process. And so we see that reflected in the level of conversations that they're having around school improvement, as well as the data that they are using and how they are using it. Next slide.
Can I ask about the accomplishment? I thought I heard you say that MAPS would move people from meets to exceeds. Mm-hmm. Is that a MAPS as well as ISAS?
Well, when we look at
MAPS was the lifestyle or whatever.
When you look at MAPS, what it does is give you an idea of how students might perform on ISAT. Now, we don't have official ISAT scores yet, so we can't actually do the correlation, but it does give you a prediction.
Okay, so the MAP result was a prediction of moving people from this to that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the way that they look at their data was the percentiles of the lowest 10%, and then 30 down to 10, and then each range up into the highest range of 90 to 99%. So for next steps, the RTI process, the response to intervention process, which is how we're looking at working with students who perhaps are struggling in school, is a huge link to the intervention. What we heard today in their conversation, which I could have been jumping out of my seat with joy, was this understanding about the importance of universal instruction. Instruction that takes place for all students in the classroom. And that if we have high levels of fidelity in implementing the curriculum, we have high levels of differentiation, that in fact the RTI process will yield fewer students in that tier two and tier three, which are the more intensive mm-hmm. interventions. And so all of the schools really recognizing that RTI is really about first best instruction in the classroom. And that was a great conversation that they had this afternoon. One of the things they want to do differently or expand upon is their communication. And we've talked a little bit about this as it relates to the long-range plan as well. How do you create deep ownership of your plan throughout the building? And they believe that ownership really comes through the PLC and the collaboration that they have And so staying focused on those PLC questions around student learning is key to their next step, and then digging deeper into the student data. All of our VLTs would say that the quality of conversation they're having around data and how students are learning and how it impacts instruction have just increased tenfold over the course of the last 3 years. So they want to continue that and move it more deeply into the everyday conversation. So that's building leadership teams, and our professional development team is next.
And it's my turn, and I have the pleasure of talking about PDT, or professional development team. And as Ann mentioned at our last CIT meeting, if there was one team that everyone was jealous of at the beginning of the Teams for Excellence structure, it was PDT. Mm-hmm. They always seemed to work so well together. They always seemed to know what to do, whereas the rest of us were kind of struggling trying to find our way. And so for PDT, there are actually four slides of accomplishments. And on this first slide, bullet point number one, they created a year-long plan based on student performance data and input from the schools. And they've been doing that for several years now. And they developed that plan based on what they feedback they get from their stakeholders, from their constituents. And it always is timely. The last bullet point as well, continued differentiation of plans for various staff groups. I think almost now in District 41, we're starting to even kind of take it for granted that, you know, social workers will have a different professional development plan than nurses and the music teachers and foreign language teachers, whereas that just doesn't happen mm-hmm. in other districts. And I can tell you, as a foreign language teacher sitting in many professional development plans that did not apply to me, I just felt like I was wasting my time. Mm-hmm. And that isn't happening here. Next slide. The second bullet point, use professional development data to inform plan development. This, I think, is one of their major accomplishments because they regularly seek feedback from teachers, from support staff, and they use that data to fine-tune and then respond to it. And they always come up with the next step to respond on the next level of professional development for whichever group they're doing. And that goes with the last bullet there, where they have 2 years of data which show a high level of satisfaction and commitment on the part of staff to implement what they have learned. One of their focuses is technology, and I myself attended the 21st Century Learning Skills in Hadley, the February Institute Day, which was absolutely fabulous. And I know it's one of their next steps as well, to continue focusing on technology. And then for their last set of accomplishments, the post-institute day support, not only do they provide the professional development up front, but then they say, okay, how can we help you use this? It's not just a matter of, here, throw this stuff at you, and this is what you can do. And then a lot of teachers used to just put it in a file and put it in the file cabinet. They come back and they say, okay, what can we do to help you now to really internalize this learning? Next up for the professional development team, I would say that very first word in the first bullet is deepen. They already know what to do and how to do it. They're just going along at making it better all the time. So they're going to deepen the connection between institute days. One thing that we were happy to see from CIT was that PDT started talking about the 21st century learning skills, the District 41 learner characteristics, how they could use those to start informing professional development. And the last bullet point is feedback from all the buildings. Next year, all the buildings would like professional development on response to intervention and more work and information about the PLC.
You see that deepening is a theme for all of our teams for excellence, and deepening around our use of data, deepening around our development of being a professional learning community, which means that collaboration, studying together, analyzing together, trusting one another, and asking the difficult questions of one another. And I think I would say that the LLT, the Learning Leadership Team, found this year to be a pivotal year for them in building that kind of team to their work. And one of the things that I can't remember if it was Lisa or Karen said, but it was, this year was a year where the pieces kind of fit together in understanding what LLT is doing and what its work is about, and not questioning whether we should be doing this or should we be doing that. Do we approve a curriculum or do we pass it on to CIT? What really is our work? And it begins with student learning and focusing on student learning. So this year, one of their biggest accomplishments was that they began to feel as though they were functioning as a PLC, and broadening and deepening the participation of all of their members so that it wasn't just a few members of the team who might have been contributing, but that all members felt that they were equal partners in the conversations at the table. They also were proud of the increased communication back to the building. So again, this issue of ownership around the work we do in the district has to get broader and deeper, and it doesn't just belong to those teacher leaders and administrative leaders who participate in committees, but it belongs to all of us as members of a larger professional learning team. And LLT felt that they made great strides this year in communicating their work back to the building. Tara, as an example, really communicated explicitly about the work that LLT was doing at each of our board meetings. And the staff, at every staff meeting, time was given to report on the work of LLT and the other teams' representatives. They also, next slide, Mike, please. They also did a lot more analysis this year in terms of our student learning data and doing some alignment between the standards-based report card and the MAP data and what that might have told us in terms of alignment of instructional areas. Of course, we all know that this is the year for the Common Core, and not only do we have curriculum committees meeting and working on the Common Core, but LLT took it as a study topic for themselves. So that we're broadening our expertise and broadening our understanding of how the Common Core might look once it's implemented in the classroom beginning in the fall of 2011. In addition, they were integral in providing feedback to us on the renewal of the long-range plan by taking a look at it and giving us some specific ideas in terms of the actual work areas of the plan. Along with PDT, they were the first group to really start looking specifically and officially at 21st century learning skills and the P21 network, as well as alignment of our learner characteristics with work habits, and that we'll see is work that they want to continue to do. So next steps will be looking at the local data and the correlation between MAP and Fontes and Pinnell. We've had some conversations recently about looking more deeply at how students work, or students' growth on the Fontes and Pinnell assessment align with meeting their learning targets in the MAP data. We've been doing a lot of conversation at CIT this year on level 2 scorecard data, and LLT will take up some of that work as well as they look at level 2 data and what the implications for curricular work is going to be. And I think, again, going back to the long-range plan and looking at ways in which the learner characteristics and the P21 skills will be implemented in all of the work that we do related to teaching learning. Response to intervention remains, a topic that all groups will be looking at because it is something that looks very, very new. And so looking at what does it look like when it's first universal instruction, what does Tier 2 look like, what does Tier 3 look like, and how can we help guide our buildings in that way. And then finally, developing that closer connection between the school improvement work that our BLTs are doing and the work that LLT is doing so that we have alignment across the system.
Okay, my turn then. CIT, or the Continuous Improvement Team, this slide talks about what we did this year to lead the renewal of the long-range plan. And this was as a result of the last collective bargaining agreement between GEA and the Board of Education, which this was a new responsibility for us. So this is the first time the CIT actually held this process. And I can remember how it started last April with just a group of four of us. It was Ann and myself. And, no, I guess three other teachers, five of us. And we looked at the old...
Julie?
Yeah, it was Julie, too. Okay, six of us. And we were started looking at the old long-range plan and went, check, we've done that. Check, we've done that. Check, we've done that. And it was very satisfying to do that. It just led into some really rich conversations about where the district could go in the future. And we started with that little subgroup, and then CIT took it on, and we held focus groups throughout the district last fall, which I was impressed. Like, when I led my focus group, the members came back with the questions I had given them answered with hopes and dreams for the district. You could tell we had really thought about them as well and had a great interest in the future of this district. And I think CIT rightly feels very proud of the work we did to help put together the new long-range plan. More accomplishments. For me, the major accomplishment on that slide is the next to last one that says we tackled fewer topics with greater depth over time and were functioning effectively as a strategic rather than a tactical group. And I have only been on CIT this is the end of my third year, and I can tell you when I was thrown into it that first year, I was sort of like, well, no, I'm not quite sure what we're doing here. But now I know what we're doing. And I think the group has really come through and is fulfilling its role as an overseer of the district and really looking out towards the future of 21st century learning and trying to guide the other learning teams along that journey. We're not trying to just say da-da-da-da-da, but letting them have it bubble up to us and then seeing if it's appropriate or not. And the other bullet points above that one are really all things that led into becoming a strategic group. Continuing development of the district scorecard. We also functioned as a professional learning community. We began talking about the learner characteristics, more communication back to the buildings. We had talking points that we talked about and had our members take back at the end of every meeting as well. And the last one, the 21st Century Learning Summit, I know Erica attended one morning with us. We all had an opportunity to go and hear about 21st century learning ideas at that conference. Next step, I think overall the biggest next step for CIT is to ensure the realization of the long-range plan. I know the administration is almost done with action steps, so CIT will be able to see those at their first meeting next August or September. And the other important thing is to complete the level 2 data for the scorecard. We've spent several meetings talking about it and adding things and taking things away and talking about, okay, is this where we want to say this? And I think the group would like to really see a firm level 2 data scorecard developed by this time next year. And the last thing, it says evaluate the teams for excellent structure. I've been instructed to say that should say more like assess the teams for excellent structure will be one of CIT's next steps. Any questions?
On the learning leadership team, the Common Core standards, are we saying that those standards will be in place this fall for language arts and math?
For language arts.
Not math.
Not math, yes. Yeah, will be 2012-13.
And maybe you can remind me how this works. On the building leadership teams, I remember last time when we went through them, you know, the reports at the end of the year, you know, evaluating them, I felt they were heavily focused on ISATs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at that point I had raised the question of, you know, whether that was
valuable,
whether there were other things. I mean, there were a few items in there about math and things like that, but it was predominantly ISAT driven. Did this team look at that and decide whether there could be a change, not a change?
That's a great question, John. In fact, it was a part of our conversation today that but when we first began school improvement plans 3 years ago or 4 years ago, where we were building multi-year plans goals, ICAT was the driver of that because that was really the biggest data piece of information we have. Now we have so much more that if the goals are shifting and they are really revolving around math and substance and other assessments that are in the school and available to them. The other change that I think is really significant is the grade level plans, which while the math, the goal may be written so that it reflects math, or the district writing scores, since I said we don't have a writing assessment any longer at the state level, but really their, one of their emphases today was it's the grade level plan that really is making a difference in the fidelity of that plan to the overall goals. And so I think we're looking at alignment not only at the grade level to the school improvement plan, but from the school improvement plan to the long range plan. And so that's the nature of the conversation we had today.
So
all of the results we saw today were all math. There were no ISATs, we told them.
So order of magnitude, let's not debate the numbers, but let's say we were 80% ISAT and 20% other for the building leadership teams. When we see them next time, how will that look like? 50-50?
80-20 reversed.
80-20 reversed, okay.
Probably. I mean, you know, what we know when we triangulate data is that you've got several points of data you are using to help make a judgment about improvement. And ISAT is one point, but the data that is most usable at the grade level and at the building level are math and substance and knowledge of local assessments.
And will the learning characteristics be a part of that as well?
In terms of assessment?
Yeah, or
well, around. It is part of the long-range plan in terms of looking at how do we assess learning characteristics. We don't have any tools in place really at this point to assess learning characteristics in a quantitative way, but one of the things that one of our study groups this summer is looking at as well is
so we shouldn't expect to see those at the building level?
Not yet.
And John, we talked about that at LLT. We had a meeting in one of our sessions. We had long conversations about how do you assess that? How do we already have some of those things embedded? How do you pull them out? So that they looked at it. They looked at LLT too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just my take on it is I think the learner characteristics will probably be harder to evaluate mm-hmm. as quantitatively as some of the other things.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, as an example, an exercise, you know, once a year in the classroom around creativity, maybe you can't measure whether creativity was achieved, but the fact that you had that session in that class would at least be a starting point to start to drive that into the culture. So,
well, we've also talked about the link to the learner characteristics to student self-assessment and reflection. And you know, to the extent to which they can assess themselves for those qualities. And could that be a part of it? Or is portfolio, I mean, there are certainly other measures that are not quantitative that could be mm-hmm. included in part of the assessment process.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't get, at least initially, I wouldn't get hung up on necessarily having that perfect quantitative mm-hmm. measurement like you do in a math test, but something that shows that, you know, we're doing a problem-solving project in whatever class every year. Not that we're not doing one, but something that's very defined as, you know, here, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Even some of our, to pick up on that, John, but even some of the core extensions, because they support some of the core courses, but have some more creativity or more hands-on, you know, really speak to some of the learner characteristics to your point about the embedding in the culture. I think that's a great point. I guess, anything else that I want to
add? I was just going to echo parents' comments about, you know, at least my time on it the last 2 years and renewal of the long-range plan, I think, having been a part of the negotiations, at least with GIA, mm-hmm. now asking as part of that, and then seeing how it all came together, and that was actually implemented to renew the long-range plan with the input from AFSCME and the staff. I think it really worked out well. I think we really got, you know, something that everyone saw value in, you know, and even the community. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, just kudos to everyone involved.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback on that because one of the notes I made was this idea of recognizing the strategic role versus the tactical role and how, and I think
we as a board can, every board resonates with that, because there is always that challenge to stay at that higher level, to be looking future focused, what is our job out 4, 5, 6 years, whatever that long range plan does. And so the fact that there's that, the light bulb went on, and to be able to, I mean, I wasn't at the CIT meeting today, but I went to the one before, so I was a good, you know, kind of observing of the process. And one of the takeaways was something Steve had talked about before, and that is the level setting that goes on among the groups as you're doing your work to say that's not in scope. And those are good strategy, that's good strategy language, any of us that works with that. So kudos to that. And as Steve's saying, that negotiation, that pull apart of that process that had been 4 years old now, was really a ton of language work, as we recall. And but you have, you know, put it into practice. So it's a good role model for our work.
I have a couple of questions on the scorecard. Where are you where does it reside?
Well, it will reside out on the webpage, and we'll have it also linked to our long-range plan once we get that up. But it's really been an internal document that we've been working on at CIT.
There is a portion. There's something of a scorecard on the website now.
I think it's
our most recent. It's not the most recent. Yeah. It's like a level one from last year.
And we will only put level one out on the website. Level two is really for the CIT to work on, and LLT and even building level.
Well, I guess that's one question is, what does that mean, since we've been our level two data?
Level two is more specific. It gets, looks at building level data sometimes. It might look at disaggregated data in different ways. Where, you know, when we look at some of the human resource data that we, that will help us determine whether we're moving towards our targets in the level one, we want to look at that, and we have reports on that. But it's not something we put out to the community as part of the scorecard. It's really working data for us.
And I would say, you know, some of those are a little more qualitative, and you could probably put a quantity on them, but, you know, I think it, the good part is it makes you think about where you want to be going, as a much, as opposed to, you know, here's the exact number, you know, we need to move it up, you know, because it may jump 10% here or there based on one person being hired or something. So it's,
it allows us to progress monitor our work. So it's, you know, similar to the work that the LPTs are doing at grade level data. It's our kind of parallel to grade level data, looking at some more specific. And it helps us determine whether we're asking the right questions about our data and whether we're posting the right data on the scorecard. Are these the important things for us to track?
The only other thing I'd want, I will be interested to see how this connects, is where you've linked in the RTI process, because that's a, that's really a significant part of where we're addressing intervention issues. And I guess that what I'm interested in learning more about as this process unfolds is how that impacts the classroom and the students within the classroom, and that, that the process itself and how it manages between the student and the teacher, and you know, having to do that process and the teaching and all those other pieces, because it's a significant commitment. So I will be questioned more kind of out there, but interested to see how that progresses as we get into it more fully.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen. What are you going to do with all your free time now? All right, thank you for that. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that board members want removed to be considered separately? Okay, hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, which includes the following items: human resources, personnel report, employment recommendations, leave requests, resignations, internal transfers, finance, facilities and operations, the treasurer's appointment, and other matters.
So moved.
Second.
And last one, sorry. Board meeting minutes. I do want to observe a correction. It's on the extra blue sheet that we have. It's a single sheet, and it's at the very bottom of board reports section. And there's a strikeout here to make the correction. So that would be on the slight correction, but wanted it to be out there. For the May 16th, 2011 regular meeting and closed session minutes, and also for the May 20th, 2011 special meeting and closed session.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Howard?
Yes.
Nelson? Yes. Superintendent's recommendations.
We have none.
We have none for board action tonight. Superintendent's report.
I just have one brief report, and that is Steve was unable to make it to CIT today, but I did want to recognize him as the board representative for CIT for the last 2 years. And as a token of our appreciation, here is a pin that talks about the importance of doing things together in collaboration in the spirit of the PLC, and thank you for giving up additional time, which is significant for CIT, and so thank you for being a participant.
Thank you, Steve. Board reports. Are there any members that have a board report tonight?
I missed, we had LLT last week, so I will be waiting for the talking points, and I'll be able to give a report for our next meeting.
Great. Any board reports?
No, I got a board report that I'm going to read something I found that I thought would be interesting to everybody here. Dear Mrs. Thomas, I know people probably tell you all the time that you are the best teacher ever. Well, you are. You make me feel like I can do things even if I thought I couldn't. To me, you are not only my teacher, you are like my mother. You teach me right from wrong. You are like my friend who I can share my feelings with. You're also like my bodyguard. When you're there, I feel safe. If that's not enough, you are also funny. We follow the rules, but laugh a lot. Even though you get off topic sometimes, we always seem to learn what we're supposed to and even more. You help us to go above and beyond. You do not just give us the answers, you make us search for them. Because in life, things will not be there for you. You will have to find them. With you by my side, I have learned to believe in myself and try my hardest. You talk about your mom a lot, how good of a person she is, and how wise, too. Well, you are just like her. When you talk about her, it reminds me of you. And because of all that you are, not having you as my teacher next year is my only regret to leaving Ben Franklin and going to Hadley. I thought that was a good evaluation.
Yeah, it's lovely. Thank
tells
you.
Tells us what's happening in the school. So.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's great. Ann and I attended the LEND meeting last Friday morning over at the case offices, District 89 offices, and Peg Agnos, who's the executive director, was calling in from Springfield because they were in their final session and gave us an update on the legislation, and there was some back and forth on the pension reform. The last notice we all got was that it is being tabled now, so that's still in the works. But also spoke a little bit about what Bob Cicerella spoke about toward the end of Finance Committee, which was the payment schedule. And so commitment for the next payment, but beyond that, again, not quite sure. So her, in essence, it was, a kind of a cautious, I won't qualify it. It is a cautious conversation right now. And so I think it is interesting when we get those alliance updates to take a peek at those, because I think it informs some of our conversations around our budget and the thought process going behind that. Budget was adopted. Yeah, budget was adopted for LEND, and updates from John Moss, who's a District 87 employee who does all of our federal connections and does a great job of, keeping us informed on that level. And requested input from boards, always request input from boards on any of the federal legislation on No Child Left Behind, et cetera, and is taking a group down at the end of this month or over out to Washington to have a lobby effort in terms of some conversation with our state federal representative. So, you know, I just encourage all of us, if there's anything that we feel is important, to discuss that as a board so we could certainly put that forward. Peg Agnos is always looking for our voices so that that can inform what she's trying to accomplish as well. I just wanted to share something.
What is the next budget? You know,
I don't remember.
It's
pretty small.
What's our contribution or a district's contribution?
It's based on our enrollment numbers. Yeah. I mean, Lauren might be able to figure that.
I was just curious.
Mm-hmm. I have a copy of it. I don't have it with me, but I can bring it next time to show you.
Like $2,000.
Yeah, it's pretty small. Just wanted to share this too. I'm on an email chain with Frank Thomas-Skevitz. I don't always pronounce his name correctly, but I'll try, Mr. T. And this I thought was interesting because we've been talking a lot about collaboration, especially around math and science. And Mr. T is in charge of all of Art Tech programs. And this summer, they're using their professional collaboration time, he and Chris Abbott, in July and August, to prepare cross-curricular learning activities for the coming school year for Art Tech students in social studies, language arts, math, and science, addressing various what he calls age-appropriate levels of STEM connection. So that's science, technology, engineering and math. And that Stephanie Julison is having them use her smart board so they can build curriculum around using the smart boards as well. So I wanted to share that because they're really looking at both levels of Mac and PC platforms. They're working with Christine, I think, and activities around using many of the things that we've kind of asked about as a board. Do we use these free applications, Google Earth, et cetera? And he's listed them all out here. I'll pass this around at the end of the meeting. So I just think it's good information to know that, you know, this summer during collaboration time, some of those questions that we have about curriculum, et cetera, are being addressed and being planned for the next year. So I thought that was interesting. Reminder about Bob's get together this Friday night, June 10th at Ivy at 7 o'clock. And I checked with him, and he's still gung ho and will bring his wife. And the phantom wife. And then Ann did send out a reminder for both the III conference and June 18th. And I really want to lock down the June 18th date because after that we all scatter, especially for the month of July. So there's a lot that I think it'll be good to do, at least in a half-day session. So please, before we leave tonight, check in with Ann and make sure that she has your go-ahead, and we'll continue to work on the agenda. President's meetings will remain on Tuesday at 7:30. If that still works for you, Ann. I've got them on my calendar for the next at least year. I know Ann put this in the Thursday letter, but really encourage people to let me know and that you want to pop into it. And for whatever amount of time you can give, it's a half an hour, 45 minutes, I really welcome that. And tomorrow morning, if you're still open, okay, then we'll start the, we'll do a couple June meetings.
Okay.
I'll get you my calendar. And that's it. Thank you. Anything else? All right. Discussion items.
Okay, our first item is the Supplemental Pay Committee recommendation, and you've had a chance to take a look at that. We are not asking for any new programs, but really enhancing the programs that we currently have, and with a total increase of cost of $675.
Well, so now it's time the sixth grade cross country starts. I'm sorry. I've yet to understand why we have not had it since day one. If there's, I mean, the cost other than the staff member is, you know, nothing, and the kids just show up and run. At least it's finally an activity for sixth graders.
Well, and it's a conference activity.
Just to have something for them to do other than, you know, really the only sport. I know soccer is another sport, but they still, there's not that many kids that can participate with that. So it's nice to see these programs. And I'm also just a comment about the Dare to Dream. I mean, I know I've talked to Ms. Walsh several times about the success of the program has had. For those of you who remember, they were here last year and gave a presentation. So it'll be interesting to see how bringing the boys into the mix will you know, enhance that program.
Is the jazz band currently will stay as a 7-8,
mm-hmm.
and then the slide is 6? Do you know if which is an advanced sixth grader, to give an opportunity.
I would guess that that would be true, that an advanced sixth grader would be given an opportunity to play in the seventh and eighth grade jazz band.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah.
I think it's just too ability-based.
Yeah.
Sixth graders can play in the top band now, too.
Symphonic.
Yeah.
So predominantly it would be sixth graders. And it's identified as a sixth grade band, but it's ability based.
Yes, part of it was to differentiate so that they could play a little more complex tunes for the older kids or the more advanced students.
Mm-hmm. That's it. We'll be bringing that back for action on June 20th. Next item is our annual furniture bid results discussion, and this is, as we just discussed in finance, part of our age and obsolescence plan, and so you can see what the nature of the bid includes: student desks and chairs, stackable chairs, and cafeteria tables, which are beginning to deteriorate. And so the bid went out to, what was it, 18 bidders, I think? 15 bidders and eight returned. So Bob has made a recommendation for the low cost of that bid, and for
$94,897. The only thing I just didn't see how this was the 21st century. It was like stacking chairs, replacing desks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's a myth that everything we do now will be by like 21st century. I didn't see 21st century.
Right. This is just an age and obsolescence bid, not a focus on 21st century. When we start to move our 21st century purchases more outward, they will be pretty clearly delineated. This will take care of more perfunctory things that, by the time we get through everything, much of this will be, probably need to be replaced again. The stackable chairs really at Hadley is a space issue. If we're looking at chairs for the pods, we don't have a lot of options there, just given the physical space limitations.
So I don't know if it aligns with another goal, but I just didn't see it as 20%.
Mm-hmm. Were there any issues that came up with finance about this that the board should have done? None? Okay. We talked about this last meeting as well.
The one thing I was just a little confusing, it says the bid is stipulated by, it's built by manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the manufacturer the same as this, it's the vendor? Like the
there are some substitutes for manufacturers there who have like type of equipment.
Just because like little park office, they don't actually manufacture.
No, they do not.
Anything else? The next item is the student information system, and I would draw your attention to the blue sheet that you have relative to that board report. Mike has been in conversation with the vendor for this new technology, and in the conversation has been able to reduce the cost of this proposal slightly because there is some professional development we will not access from them. And so this revision is slightly lower. Mike has talked with you over several different opportunities as it relates to our student information system and its inadequacy for us on a variety of fronts. And we've been looking at replacing it for the last year and a half. And Mike used focus groups throughout the district. He also created user focus groups out there and got a lot of utilizing technology to get feedback on what other districts, how they are using and responding to the software. And so we are recommending that we make the switch next year to a new student management data system and software group for a total investment three-year investment of total investment of $107,488
mm-hmm.
To go with Skyward.
Well, I have two questions. First, are we eligible to receive any type of refund on our current software? I mean, I remember when we we got it, but I, is it, do we lease it, do we own, I can't remember the term.
We own it. We pay an annual licensing fee.
Okay, but we own it.
Software itself.
Okay, can we Craigslist that to some other poor district, or we wouldn't want to do that
to
someone?
We would do that to them.
Yeah.
When did we buy it?
We purchased it in 2006, right before I arrived.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I remember when we got it. That's why.
But we didn't implement it immediately in 2006 for a variety of reasons, not the least of which was we didn't have the personnel to do it at the time because we were shorthanded in the finance office. What I think happened with this particular software system is that it was purchased using a great process of end users, you know, looking at it, but our own needs for data, our own requirements that we have, you know, have emerged for our use of our software systems has changed dramatically. We have a new schedule at Hadley, which is dramatically different than the previous schedule, and the company MIG has just not proven to be as effective and able to be used by us as we would have hoped originally. So in the end, there are multiple reasons why this particular software is not working for us. But I think the greatest reason is that our own needs for data and how we want to use it don't align with the software that we currently have.
Well, and so, I mean, that was one of my other questions. Are we going to be able to use this to do the Hadley scheduling from now on? After this year, since I'm sure two-thirds of them are done because they're being hand-scheduled, but then after this year?
Well, we have to presume we'll get the best we can get. I mean, you know, any scheduler is a scheduler that is based on predictability and it has a, you know, it's written to meet the needs of the school. There is no scheduler out there that you just put names in and you put what you want in there and it prints it back. We expect we feel like both software systems have the capacity to do a significantly better job of scheduling than our current situation.
Right, I mean, I realize that nothing's perfect, but what they've had to do over the past couple of years,
we expect it to be significantly better.
Okay.
I thought I heard I recall, because Hadley is 15 minutes or something, mm-hmm. that this software didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. We had all kinds of things that were problematic with the software. Not only did we have 15 minutes.
No, the new software can. It can differentiate between an hour and a half class and 45 minute class and a half an hour period.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And an A
also
and
B. Allows us some different mechanisms for uploading partial schedules into the system, which we don't currently have, which would be very helpful and eliminate a lot of the time consuming work. Going through student by student.
Okay, that's why I'm asking. I mean, I know that nothing is perfect, but this is going to help that situation so that 12 people aren't sitting in a room.
Predictably.
Okay.
And you know, it should be noted, we have a highly complicated schedule at Hadley.
Absolutely. But they shouldn't have to endure what they
We agree.
They're the ones that
they've been champions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we anticipate that, yes, we will see significant improvements.
Mm-hmm. And my last question, I just, and I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to ask this before the meeting, but I just, PowerSchool, that's what West uses,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we just have a different need.
It was analyzed by all different kinds of end users, it was felt that this software was a far better overall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are lots of positive things about PowerSchool. I mean, it was a close, but there were some reporting mechanisms from the office staff perspective and the alignment with our HR and finance software as well. So there were, you know, just some small pieces at the end that was the tipping point. But PowerSchool is an excellent product as well.
Okay.
And both are well used throughout Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I think you talked about this before, Mike, but you reinforced it in the recommendation information that our finance and then student records will be combined, and so that also creates a platform, you know, that's different.
Operational efficiency.
Yeah.
We'll bring it down into a single platform, single point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That was really the plan.
Mm-hmm. And Skyward has been tremendously responsive in their work with the district.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for being able to take another $3,000 or $4,000 off the total cost, because that, I mean, it ends up to be around $36,000 a year that we're investing, and it sounds like getting a really good return on our investment for that that money.
So we will bring this back for action at our June 20th meeting. The next item is the Glenbard Area Property Tax Appeals Cooperative Intergovernmental Agreement, which we have brought to you before, and then you had ample discussion about this once before. Some of the questions that were raised at that time, I believe, have been answered in the agreement, as well as the preface, you know, commonly asked questions, the question and answer portion of this, and the limitations to the agreement, which would identify a price point for appeals, as well as limiting those appeals to commercial properties as opposed to personal properties.
Yeah, I felt that language was still a little wishy-washy, because it was, you know, in general, we won't go after residential, you know, blah, 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 and then the next sentence is, it is only for commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
In the agreement, John?
In whatever document that was sent out, I don't know if that's in your note, in your just your attachment, or what attachment is it?
Nine.
Mm-hmm.
There is an exhibit that has the exception from the last line that says school districts shall not intervene in appeals filed on residential property.
Yeah, it says here, as a general rule, the cooperative will not intervene in matters pertaining to residential property. So it doesn't say we won't. It says as a general rule, but then the next sentence clearly says the cooperative will only intervene in commercial industrial.
But in Exhibit A of that attachment, on page 31, the last sentence of the exception does say the school district shall not, the shall, it certainly cannot do it, shall not interfere.
Mm-hmm. So it's just in the memo that.
Yeah.
I mean,
the reality of that or not, there's the prohibition is in here, and I think that was one of the things that the board wanted to see.
That was some of the community feedback that some of us got.
I had to finance that District 89 and District 87 had already both approved this.
But you can see their agreement is in here signed.
Mm-hmm. But when they voted, was it unanimous by the board?
Oh, I don't know that I have that information. I could bring that back to you by looking at their minutes. I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't.
When did we talk about
this? Oh, a long time ago.
Many months ago that started?
Many more months ago.
One thing that wasn't clear on me is, you know, like you see their signature at the end, but then the exhibit, I guess the last question legally is, how do you know that the exhibit is a part of the signed document?
Well, it would say it within, and say refer to Exhibit A.
Yes.
I don't, I mean, that.
Page 3 of the document.
Paragraph 8, set forth on Exhibit A, the disagreement, parameters of intervention.
Okay. Feel bad.
Yeah.
And so you want to know before you take action if it was unanimous.
Well, I'm just curious if any board members in our discussion have a problem with this agreement.
Oh.
I just don't, I mean, to help sway to say, you know, every other board and every member on those boards, I think, didn't see an issue with it.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't say, generally speaking.
Is there anyone right now that has a problem in approving?
Does anybody have concerns about this that we want to make sure we get addressed? No, Dan? No?
Do you have a problem, John, philosophically with it? I mean, last time we said, you know, let's just make sure that we keep residential property. I mean, you know, we went through 3 or 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's been addressed.
Okay. So we'll bring this back for action at the June 20th meeting. Uh, last item for discussion, I believe, yes, mm-hmm. is the resolution of the board to direct the school treasurer, who is Bob, to loan monies from the working cash fund to the transportation fund to cover our costs between now and the remainder of the year, since we have not received transportation reimbursement dollars. And questions Bob can address more specifically.
Could you just, I think, since we were being taped, I think that this would be the explanation that we were given about how working cash fund mm-hmm. works, that this is why it's designed to do this, sort of a loan, and if maybe if you could sort of explain that, that might help some of our listening audience understand how these funds actually function.
Sure. The working cash fund is used as a district, sort of the district savings account. Specifically set up for that purpose by Illinois statute, and this is just the first time that we've been required to tap into it over the past several years. The major reason is the lack of timely funding by the state of Illinois, both for transportation as well as most of their other funding streams that they provide to local school districts. So it's just something that we would do in the ordinary course of business if one fund need dollars supplied by the working cash fund.
And in this case, for transportation, we simply, in order to meet our obligations to for a student, are requesting that fund transfer.
And that will be repaid more than likely with the second installment of cash in September or October. So we will make the working cash fund whole once we receive that second installment of cash.
And then if we receive the money, if or when we receive the money from the state on our transportation, is it for that? They're behind on that payment, so when we receive that payment for the transportation, where does that money go?
It ordinarily goes into our education fund. When we receive it, we'll just make a transfer from the ed fund that we borrowed from to and return it to the working cash fund.
Thank you.
Any other questions? That's it for our discussion. We'll all come back for your vote at the June 20th meeting, which is the final meeting before we recess for July. Any other matters that come before the board? Any members of the public wishing to address the board at this point? Seeing none. There is a correction to the agenda tonight. We do have reason to go into closed session. For the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of a specific employee of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. I have a motion to move to closed session.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes, what's the question? Yes. Yes. Here. Motion. Yes.
Mr.
Vondra? Yes.
Yes.
Mr.
Black?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. We will take action.
Helen?
Yes, we will take action when we return.